Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on church history.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we have been looking at the subject of church history, focusing on the 4th and 5th centuries. And thus far we've looked at how the church handled the false doctrine of Arius that denied the true deity of Jesus Christ. On today's program we're looking at those that during this time period, three men in particular who denied the true humanity of Jesus Christ. And the end result was in 451, a creed was written called the Chalcedonian Creed that expressed how Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man, and how those two natures interacted and were truly one person. Louis Burkhoff, in his writing, suggests that one needs to affirm four distinct points in relationship to the humanity and deity of Christ. Number one, Christ is truly God. Number two, Christ is truly man. Number three, Christ is truly one person. And four, the divine and the human nature must remain distinct. And that's primarily where some of these teachers in the church went astray in stressing either too much of the humanity or stressing too much of the deity, or somehow merging them together where one nature would take over the others. Once again, I'd like to bring up the passage that relates to the preciseness of doctrine that we need to have in relationship to the true humanity of Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world." And so here in the early church, they said, if you do not embrace or believe or teach that Christ came in the flesh or was truly human, you do not have the true gospel. You are part of the spirit of Antichrist. You're a false teacher and you're under deception. So doctrine needs to be precise in relationship to who Christ is. And there were three men in the church, remember this is inside the church, that began to teach something contrary to the fact that Jesus Christ was both fully God and fully man, but yet was one person. The three individuals are Apollinarius, Nestorius, and Eutyches. And let's look at what each of these three taught in relationship to the humanity of Christ. We'll start off with Apollinarius, who was a bishop in Laodicea. And he influenced the church from 362 to 381. And he was esteemed by the church. Even Athanasius, that great defender of the deity of Christ, esteemed this man as a great theologian until he began to bring in this doctrine. And his doctrine basically overemphasized the deity of Christ, where it ended up denying the true humanity of the Lord. And he taught that the Logos, which is the word that the Gospel of John uses, which we translate the Word, took the place of the human mind of Jesus. So he was not truly human. So he denied the true humanity of Christ, and that Christ was not truly human since the Logos took the place of the Lord's mind. Basically, Jesus was two parts human and one part divine. He believed in the deity of Christ, but denied his real humanity. Now, the way the church responded to this individual were through three different men who we've given the title the Cappadocian Fathers, who were in Asia Minor. And this is Basil the Great and Gregory the Great, and these two were brothers, and then also Gregory, who was the bishop of Constantinople. These men were used to refute this doctrine of Apollinarius in the church. And they came up with the phrase, "What he has not assumed, he cannot save." If he wasn't truly human, then he could not truly save mankind. And this is what we see Paul writing about as Jesus Christ being the only mediator between God and man in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So if he was not truly man, he could not truly represent us in salvation. The other way the church responded to this is that in a synod or a church council in 362 in Alexandria, as well as in 378, they condemned him as a heretic. Also, the larger church ecumenical council at Constantinople in 381 condemned him as well. So in relationship to Burkhoff's suggestion, he denied the second point that Christ is truly man. The next individual in the church that we'll look at is a man by the name of Nestorius in approximately 431. He was a bishop of Constantinople and was accused of teaching that the two natures, the human nature and the divine nature, didn't interact, almost two people in one body. He actually taught there were two sons. There was a son of David and the son of God. two persons in one body, and these two did not interact. Birkhoff summarizes the problem with Nestorius' doctrine. He says, Nestorianism is defective not in the doctrine of the two natures in Christ, but in that of the one person. Both the true and proper deity and the true and proper humanity are conceded, but they are not conceived in such a way as to form a real unity and to constitute a single person. The two natures are also two persons. So Nestorius affirmed the humanity and affirmed the deity, but he did not teach that they interacted with one another, basically producing two individuals. So in relationship to Birkhoff's 4 points of having a proper doctrine of Christ's humanity, Nestorius denied the third point, that Christ is truly one person. So what the church affirmed is that Christ is both God and man, but yet one person. He was refuted by Cyril of Alexandria, one of the church fathers, and then also there was an ecumenical council at Ephesus in 431 who brought condemnation to this doctrine. The third individual is a man by the name of Eutyches, who influenced the church from 431 to 451. He was a monk at Constantinople who was admired and respected by the people. But the problem is that his doctrine was messed up in relationship to the humanity of Christ. He taught that Christ only possessed one nature and not two. The human nature for him was absorbed into the divine. He rejected the idea that we'll look at in the creed, that Christ and his humanity was consubstantial to us or exactly like us, as well as the phrase that says two natures after the incarnation. So he primarily taught that the incarnation of the human body was divinized in such a way it no longer was like ours. So in essence, he denied the true humanity of Christ. The Council of Chalcedon in 451 was the first official council to condemn Eutyches. So in relationship to Birkhoff's 4 points, Eutyches denied the fourth point, that the divine and the human nature must remain distinct. The doctrine that the church has held to is that Christ is both God and man. And in the Creed in Chalcedon in 451, that's why they came together to express that in detail with very precise terms. At this point, I'd like to read a portion of the Creed of Chalcedon from 451, where the church gathered together to refute these three heresies. And what you'll see in this creed is some technical language, but also it's precise language to present the idea that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, yet one person. It reads this way: following the Holy Fathers, we teach with one voice that the Son of God and our Lord Jesus Christ is to be confessed as one and the same person. That is, he is perfect in Godhead and perfect in manhood, very God and very man, of a reasonable soul and human body, consisting, consubstantial with the Father as touching his Godhood. That means absolutely equal with the Father, and consubstantial with us as touching his manhood. That means exactly like us in our manhood, yet without sin. That's what Eutyches wanted to deny, that Jesus, his physical body, was like ours. Made in all things like unto us, sin only excepted, begotten of his Father before the worlds, according to his Godhead, but in these last days for us men and for our salvation, born into the world of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, according to his manhood. The one and the same Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, must be confessed to be in two natures. That's what Nestorius wanted to deny. Without confusion, without conversion, without severance, and without division, distinction of the natures being in no wise abolished by their union, but the peculiarity of each nature being maintained, and both concurring in one person, and hypostasis. We confess not a Son divided and sundered into two persons, again that's refuting Nestorius' doctrine, but one and the same Son, only begotten, and God Logos, our Lord Jesus Christ, even as the prophets had before proclaimed concerning him, and he himself taught us. So here we have the church coming together to try and refute these three ideas that somehow either denied the true humanity of Christ or denied the fact that the natures were distinct. That's why they use such terms, that he must be confessed in two natures, without confusion. That's why the church taught in technical language that he must be confessed in two natures, without confusion. That's against Eutyches. Without conversion, that's also against Eutyches' doctrine. Without severance, without division. Also that they are in one person, in hypostasis. So here the church gathered together, wrote this out to express exactly the nature between the human nature and the divine nature of Christ, keeping them distinct, but yet also saying Christ was one person. That's the doctrine that the church held to and battled out and fought to preserve for us to pass on that lineage. And we as well need to be able to defend the faith against those that would teach that Jesus Christ was not truly human. May the Lord bless you in your efforts to defend the faith against such heresies and false doctrines.